If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Metty's hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the latest edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name is Lauren Wood. I'm joined by John Anderson, Michael Warner and Scott Gullen. There's so much to cover, of course, starting off with the Essendon COVID-19 saga that has engulfed recent days. We'll get onto that very, very shortly. Also, of course, the hubs are back on the agenda firmly and squarely as Western Australia opens up its doors. We'll have the Whisper, Ando's best of the best Western Bulldogs team, and also go inside one of the hubs with the West Coast Eagles a little bit later on. But Mick, we've got to start with the Bombers. They got the best possible news they could have got this morning in that James Stewart is the only player to join Connor McKenna in quarantine.
Yeah, it's fantastic news for Essendon. I'll play that game against Melbourne later in the year somewhere, whenever the year finishes. But right now, when they play Carlton and then Collingwood, they'll have a full-strength team because McKenna wasn't even in the team, was he? And Jimmy Stewart's a fringe player. I feel horribly sorry for Jimmy. He's fighting for his career. He's out of contract at the end of this year. And lo and behold, he's been plucked out as the only guy in the Essendon Footy Club who needs to go into quarantine. So I'm not sure. Well, they said it was because he was the wrestling partner. That's the official excuse. But I when you're a Victorian business going bankrupt and you're not allowed to go and sell whatever it is you do, well, you must be scratching your head wondering how the Essendon Footy Club show can roll on, but you can't go to work. So that's where it's landed. And I think for the sake of the season, it's good news. But you are scratching your head at it, I think.
Just incredibly lucky, aren't they, Scotty? I know there's sort of been a Twitter pile on, which tends to always be the case because no one has a lot of sympathy for the media this morning, about reports that, you know, it could have been the entire back line, reports that it could have been five players. But I think that everyone was safe to assume that the risk was just so incredibly high that any of those players that had even the slightest contact with McKenna, given what we've heard out of health authorities about how contagious this thing is, that it could have been any number of Bombers officials and players, couldn't it? So to get away with one, geez, they must be out to buy a Tats ticket this afternoon.
Well, that's it, Loz. I mean, it's been drilled into our heads by the government and the health officials that, yeah, I mean, if you're in close contact, which is, you know, high-fiving as you run past the training, even in the same room, that you're at risk. Yet Essendon have found one guy who wrestled him, and that's enough. I know they've tested negative. I get all that. But like overseas, there's soccer teams that, you know, five positive tests, so the whole lot of them get quarantined. It surprised us. I mean, you know, the AFL were bracing for the worst, and that's what we reported. I know it's come up. It was doomsday yesterday, and we were right to say that, but it's a surprise result.
Should they have played this weekend? Obviously, the D's played their scratch match on Sunday at the MCG. We've all heard the, you know, various incarnations of nimble and agile and flexible and insert thesaurus here in terms of, you know, all those sorts of words thrown around. It's kind of split people this week of whether the D's and Bombers should have potentially played, you know, tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah, I get that. Loz, I think Mick just said then it's going to be later in the year. That's my understanding of what it should be too. I don't think they should have played this week. They couldn't schedule it this week before they knew anyway, could they? So then you're left with fairly short notice. And when you see the footage of, I was going to say Conor McGregor. I keep wanting to call him Conor McGregor. I bet you he wishes he earned as much money as Conor McGregor, you know, Conor McKenna. But, and when he employed the Bushman's hanky style, didn't he, with the clearing of the nasal, which is something that a lot of footballers in all competitions do. I know I had this conversation with my wife and a few friends on weekend. I said, that's disgusting. How can people do that? But when you're playing footy, sometimes you need a clearance situation. It's just as disgusting as it sounds. So, but you think about it, boys, it does happen. It's just something that they can't do. They just got to be smarter. And I don't know whether you use a handkerchief, whether that helps or not, but Conor McGregor will certainly learn from it. But in answer to the original question, no, I don't think they should have played this week. There's too much uncertainty about it at the time.
Where's McKenna at the moment, Mick, or should I say McGregor, as Ando's dubbed him? Are we optimistic to think, you know, along the false positive lines at this point? His test comes back to Savo, doesn't it?
No, I think he's at home, to answer your question, sitting on the couch for the next 14 days. This season's going to be so stop-start. They'll be able to play that game with the whole Western Australia situation. Queensland, everyone's looking at Victoria right now saying, I'm not going near that joint, let alone letting footballers from that state come to our state to play. So Conor McKenna will get his chance to play footy, Lauren, and that Melbourne-Essendon game will be played. There's going to be bye rounds. We've got a lot of hurdles to jump over. I reckon we're headed for a December grand final. There you go. I think that we're going to lose a few weeks here.
Well, it probably goes to show, doesn't it, too, that it'll probably happen again. The way that things are going in Victoria, as you say, we're dire island, I think, as Mark McGowan put it from WA yesterday, Mick. There's probably a good lesson in it all that, you know, the Bombers were really meticulous, weren't they, in the kind of records that they kept, rooms that they used, who was where at what time, and videos and all that sort of stuff to give to the health department. There might be a few other clubs that are sort of sharpening up their act now a little bit that maybe weren't as committed to it.
Yeah, I think they'll announce round six on Thursday or Friday. But beyond that, the AFL have no idea what the season's going to look like, because I think they'll convince the Eagles to stay another week up in Gold Coast, but with the guarantee they'll be home for round seven. It's incredible that WA is going to have crowds of 30,000 this week if they could have a game, and 60,000 in July. So they are flying over there, and that's why Mark McGowan's got an 89% approval rating. And he's not going to meddle with that by letting the infected Victorians across the border.
Mickey, what about Conor McGregor, McKenna? Have we found out how he got it, and is he going to get suspended after all this like the other guys?
Oh, I don't think he'll get suspended. No. You can't say...
Well, how did
he
get it?
You can't,
we don't know.
No, I don't think they know. But you can't say that you can go to an open for inspection for a purchase of a house but not a rental. What is the difference? How does the coronavirus... Does the virus say, yeah, this guy's a renter, I'll get him? No. I mean, give me a spell. I feel sorry for him. Unless he's done something brazen, which I haven't seen. He's just unlucky.
Just on WA crowds and Mark McGowan there, Mick, he'll probably keep winning a few more West Australians over if he keeps having pot shots at us, which seems to be the soup du jour for interstate politicians at the moment. We're a pretty easy target with the way our numbers are tracking, unfortunately. But Optus Stadium looms as a potential grand final venue. I know you mentioned December just there, but you'd have to say with crowd figures like that, it'd almost be the best of both worlds for the AFL, wouldn't it? They could almost service both the day grand final traditionalists like you and I, while getting the twilight time slot on the eastern seaboard.
Why not have it there? This season's a complete write-off. It's shot in terms of integrity. I don't care if they play it there. The AFL grand final is worth $50 million to the AFL in terms of ticket sales at 100,000 seat MCG. Jack the prices up in Perth and they might get close. I wouldn't care less where the grand final's played this year.
Well, you're just bitter, Mick, because your team's gone. That's why. This is just anger coming out from you because you're in crisis mode at Punt Road.
We'll get to that.
We will. What about Adelaide Oval, Ando? Could you see the, given that they've, you know, we saw the crowd there at the showdown and, you know, South Australia's numbers stay low too. Could it potentially end up an Adelaide Oval versus Optus Stadium duel?
Give it. Well, I'm actually one of those few Victorians that is happy. Mick just said it then. He's talking about this year specifically. I think in long term, the grand final should go around the country. I really do. And I know that's heresy to many people, but that's just the way it should be. It does make sense when you think footy is a national game, so why does it have to be at the one stadium? Because of crowd size? That's the only argument I can come up with, that you get 100,000 in MCG and you can't elsewhere.
It's locked in, Ando. It's locked in.
I understand it, Mick. I understand it, but lots of things are locked in. I mean, Chris Scott's locked into a contract at Geelong until the end of 2021.
What are you saying?
Hang on. We'll come to that. But it's but in terms of, hey, Loz, I would benefit the state that's been the best through Corona. And to date, that has been Mark McGowan-led WA by a long, long way. They're their own country anyway, WA. They regard themselves as a separate entity and very proudly and probably rightfully so. So, yeah, they can have it. Good on them.
Not a bad prize, a grand final to greet you at the end of the Corona crisis.
Lauren, I'm going to interrupt. I know you're the host, but so if it's in Geelong, in West Coast, Ando, but what you just said is Geelong going to be there, or what are you saying about Chris Scott?
Oh,
no, I was talking about contracts. You were saying that the grand final was contracted to the MCG for a long, long time. I didn't say contracts are meant to be broken. You can have so Chris Scott was in the news because Geelong lost a game that the odds makers and most of us thought they wouldn't lose. So thereby, naturally, you look at his contract. Jack Riewoldt played like crap for the second week in a row. So naturally, you look at Jack's position in the side, Mick. You want to bring it back to Richmond and Geelong, I can do that very quickly. But in terms of Chris Scott's interesting, I'm not a lip reader, but I would love to have been. Scotty, you were at the game, so you probably didn't see the coverage that I saw on the telly. Well, maybe you did. But you were actually in the stadium, or did you watch it?
Yeah, no, I was in the stadium. Yep.
Yeah, so Chris was having really animated conversations, as he would expect him to be doing, with some of his players. Harry Taylor was one of them. I'm guessing that it was because Levi Casbot was able to take, what, 8-9 marks with his vice-like grip, and Harry is so good at spoiling, didn't sort of get near doing that on the other night. And Chris, he's having those conversations with his senior players as well. What happens, he is contracted until the end of 2021. He came in, he obviously was brilliant in winning a premiership in his first year, and people say, oh, hang on, he inherited a great side. No, he deserves a lot more credit than that for 20. And you know the players, Scott, and they agree that Chris Scott was instrumental in Geelong winning the 2011 grand final against a really good Collingwood side. I think he's been unlucky a few times since 2013. Paul Chapman got a week for Robbie Gray, missed the prelim final. Corey Enright was unavailable for the whole final series. They lose by a kick to Hawthorn. Hawthorn wins the premiership. 2016. Pouring against, I'm going to say, was that the Sydney final?
Yeah,
really pouring that. And Adelaide's another one I think of. And
then is he going to get sacked or not, Ando? Get to the point.
No, he won't get sacked. He won't get sacked this year, Mick. But he was poor last year as a coach, and he's still section with Mark Blizzard. He should have played in defence. That's just clear. Will he get sacked before 21? Well, who knows? It depends on how Geelong goes. But what I will say is, in his contract, there is a very appealing get-out clause for Geelong, as it would be with most coaches on those long ones. So it's not Geelong won't lose a heap of money if that actually happened, is my understanding.
What's the get-out clause?
Oh, we're going to have to meet a certain performance criteria like anyone else.
There was definitely a change in strategy Saturday night. I mean, Chris Scott doesn't speak to the players after the game. He called them in. They had a very honest meeting that went over a half an hour, where this is stuff he hasn't done before. And I got the sense post-game, like, he gets, you know, he's sick of, and he has to take some responsibility, so do the players, about these slow starts. It cost them against Collingwood last year in the finals, which ultimately could have cost them a premiership, or at least a shot at Richmond in a grand final.
And yeah, fickle.
You go back the 4 years you mentioned. Sydney, they were red hot favourites that night back in 16, I think it was. Sydney kicked 7 goals to none. Like, this group has an issue mentally at times in big games. And I know Saturday night wasn't a big game, but they came off looking like world beaters against Hawthorn, and they were just a completely different team.
But didn't Clarko just say they're not that good?
Yeah, Clarko was all over it. He's a complete genius.
No, but I didn't take Clarkson's comment that way. I was taking the Clarkson was saying that, you know, we got beaten by 60 points or whatever we got beaten by. And Geelong are fine, but they're not that good. I mean, they're not.
Yeah, they're good, but they're not 10 goals good.
That's how I took his comment. I wasn't offended by that.
Chris Scott used to say Richmond are good, but they're not that good too.
He did.
You only won two flags, Mick. You haven't won three.
Exactly.
And you're just in crisis. Sorry, go, Loss.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Ando, just sticking on that game, you were very, very strong on the Blues last week and heard a little bit of feedback from a few on the Twitter machine, namely the very vocal at Carlton Cheer Squad, who took a bit of umbrage with your comments, particularly regarding Eddie Betts. What did you think watching him on Saturday night? Did you maybe go a bit early?
No. No, I don't like going back on what I say. Eddie Betts played a brilliant game on Saturday night, deservedly. I think Scotty put him in his three best players on the ground, as he should, along with who were the other best? Patrick Cripps and someone else.
Wietering was outstanding.
Yeah, Wietering really good. What I would say with Eddie Betts, Loz, is he's still capable of playing really good football. The gap between his best and worst will be far greater, as it is with Gary Ablett, as it is with most players who get to that age. We saw that with Gary on Saturday night. He was well down on his first two rounds. His GWS and Hawthorn games, he was in the best two players for Geelong. That's what happens with age. Eddie will have some good games. He'll have some bad games. Come back to me in 5-6 weeks and see how it's all going then before you... Well, you get too carried away with one game's performance, but he was outstanding the other night.
Do you think that... And I'm not the first to say this, but I think it's right. The mental side of football this year is off the charts. So clubs are... I remember Jay Clark got smashed by Mick Malthouse when he once said to him in a press conference, did your team turn up to play tonight? And Mick just had an absolute field day with Jay, ripped him to shreds. But...
What did he say, Mick? Hey, Mick, what did he actually...
I wasn't there, but I don't think there was much left of Jay afterwards. It was just his clothes.
What do you mean? Turn up to play? To play marbles?
Yeah, that's
marbles.
Right.
Yeah, marbles are what somebody is.
But teams aren't turning up to play. I mean, look at the Tigers. They had 9 tackles at halftime. St Kilda, if you'd seen Nick Riewoldt's pre-game promo on Foxtel, it was a new dawn at St Kilda. You know, they were going to beat Collingwood and that just fell flat in its face. The West Coast Eagles, they're already shot mentally. Is this the year where you just got to try and keep it together? And that's going to be the premier.
Yeah, I spoke with a guy, a West Coast player called Brendan Archie, or Polly, or Buddha, or Chi, as he's known to his teammates, Loz. I don't know if you've ever met him. I know nothing really about Brendan Archie other than he was Port Adelaide, gone to West Coast. He's got a brother, Callum, who he played against the other night, Callum playing for Brisbane. Really interesting bloke if you get a chance to listen to the interview. And I don't normally say that about interviews I do because most of them are fairly boring, but this one's actually this one's okay. And he spoke about that and about the mental side of it. And, yeah, really, you know, it's just a very clever young bloke. And I think you're right, Mick. I think it's never been greater, particularly with clubs who are out of their comfort zone, living in a hub or whatever. Everything's different and some of them aren't dealing with it terribly well. Then you get an 18-year-old redhead called Matt Rowe. Oh. Doesn't seem to worry him too much.
Oh, crikey. Well, that's probably the thing, isn't it? Like, even for talking about Carlton on Saturday night, Mick, Ando talks about that it's only been sort of one game, come back to me in a month. You look at what happened on the weekend, even with the Giants against the Dogs, you know, came out looking for a fight, all the rest of it. But it's almost, you can't say that any team has turned the corner because it's almost as if every team is going to be riding the roller coaster, isn't it?
Mm. Port Adelaide looks very exciting. Collingwood looks solid. Yeah. I think no crowds is a big factor, particularly you've got 5,000 now allowed this weekend in South Australia. Not that there'll be a game there, but as we said, 30,000 in WA. Queensland's getting crowds. Victoria's going to have no crowds for the whole year, just about, if we can't turn this thing around. So that's going to be a big problem for clubs like Richmond and all the Victorian clubs that are used to playing in front of a packed MCG.
I've got a question for Scotty, given he understands the Bulldogs and the GWS. GWS came out in that game, Scott, and they were aggressive and right from the start, right from the coin toss. Isn't that utterly and totally counterproductive in today's game? Focus well, your aggression at the ball. What are they doing? I don't get that.
They were just total smartasses, Ando. The moment Nick Haynes walked to the centre square and you saw the look on Marcus Bontempelli's face, it's like, what are you doing, Ace? Oh, yeah, no worries. And then, see, the problem with the Giants is, in my opinion, they've got this tough guy image. And fair enough, you know, Mumford, Green. They've got some guys who like strutting around that image. The Bulldogs ruined their own... ruined their premiership chance in 16. The Bulldogs have stood up to them. And it's a great rivalry, but I've always had this impression that GWS's strut is a lot more than their, you know, what they deliver. I mean, Jeremy Cameron didn't go near the ball on Saturday night. That's not the first time that's happened. He's a very high-priced player for someone whose consistency in big moments. And I know it's only round three or whatever, but there was a lot of hype around that game. I just think they can get carried away with this sort of stuff. And this isn't the only example of it. It's happened before.
They did have Kelly, Green and Whitfield out.
But no excuse for the way they...
But there
well,
is
Whitfield a, was there yeah, for
I agree
a
with you. I do agree with you. There's something amiss with the Orange Tsunami.
But they're the ones who put on the agenda. You know, oh, Bontempelli sniped Haynes. Well, it was a in-play accident. Genuine, it wasn't Toby Green eye gouging a bloke who's on the ground not looking. So they set the agenda, Michael, and the Bulldogs sorted it.
The Bulldogs are magnificent, Scotty.
He picked the right team. The coach picked the right team. That's as simple as what happened on Saturday night.
Interesting mentality from the coach too. We know he's a bit left of centre, your man Bevo, Scotty, but hearing him speak in the press conference and he kept calling the Giants the Orange, and then he spoke about the incident with Nick Haynes last year, and he said, "Oh, and you know, we know about that. Just basically completely coincidental incident where Nick Haynes left his kick late and slipped down into Marcus Bontempelli's shoulder.
I did,
and all this
something,
and you think, yeah, like I mean, there's sort of sideways comments in a press conference, but the reference to the Orange, I thought was really compelling. Like it's almost like he just doesn't even want to say, like Voldemort style, he who shall not be named.
They hate each other's guts. It's a good rivalry.
It is a great rivalry. One of the best, you'd have to say, that we've got at the moment. We've waited a little while, Mick, just before we get on to your team, Richmond. There's a lot to unpack there. I just don't want to let this one slip by without asking Ando, just to go back quickly to the Geelong game. Jack Stephen, Ando, what did you think? Obviously his first game back.
I thought his selection was inept, and the club can defend that and say, well, you're not privy to his training schedule and his training performances or how he's been handling the ball at training. No, I'm not. I'm privy. I've got eyes, two eyes, that reasonable sight with the aid of a plus 2.5 glasses. And I saw a bloke come on the field, I think his first possession, Scotty, looked, he was running inside 50 and thought, hang on, this is looking promising, and then shanked the kick and then blew up. He was just so far removed from where he needed to be. And I've been watching footy for long enough to understand that and I can't deal with his mental preparation. I know nothing about that, but the physical side of it and his touch was askew. And if Jordan Clark or Lockie Fogarty wouldn't have given Geelong better value, you'd ask the question, would they have played him, and they will take umbrage at this, extreme umbrage, but would they have played him if they were playing Collingwood? Would they have played him if they were playing, say, Port Adelaide in its current form? Or did they play him thinking that maybe they could get away with it against the Carlton side they were going to beat? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know they would deny that strongly, but I couldn't believe his selection and what he produced. He'll play good footy for Geelong. That's not the point, but he couldn't play it in the condition he was in the other night.
He's a natural ball magnet when he's on. Like, he's one of those players just finds the footy. One touch in the second half. One possession. And he wasn't sitting on the bench. He was on. Yeah, it was. They claim they nearly picked him last week, but they have to be looking, reassessing very quickly at that. That was not a good look.
No, anyway, that's their call. But effectively, they lost Dalhouse early. Which meant that Stephen had to be on the ground more and then met a goal a bit later. So they probably didn't want him to be there as much as he was, but it was by the end it was getting embarrassing.
You mentioned not a good look. What did you think of, Lauren, I'll ask you, what did you think of Rusciutto versus Hugh Greenwood?
I know.
Well,
who won.
I must admit, I watched it. I watched it unfold just about in real time. Given that I was sitting on the couch, watched that game, and was doing the sort of dinner time Twitter scroll. I was actually working on Saturday, so we were trying to stay across all games here at the Carrum Hub of the Herald Sun, and. It was my husband actually yelled out and said, "Have you seen this?" Because he's mad for the social media too. And I quite liked the first dip from Hugh Greenwood. I thought it was a little bit cheeky. Obviously, he'd taken umbrage with what Ricciuto said. Didn't mind Ricciuto's reply until the little jab about the disposals. Wasn't sure whether that was it. I must say, I know a lot of people are saying that Hugh came out the winner of this. I don't think he probably needed to go back again. With the, what was it, something, you know, typical of Adelaide, only caring about possession. I think if he'd left it, I reckon he might have come out with the points.
Nah,
but
nah, he wins. That was the best line. The lot loss.
I don't know. I just think it's one of those ones where you go for the last word, Mick, and probably just go one too many.
Well, maybe Mark Ricciuto needs to be quiet more, possibly.
Potentially. That is the argument.
A couple of weeks.
He's had a big week. The Crows are cooked, aren't they?
Oh
well, it wasn't ideal on the field or off the field for them, Mick, as you say, with Ricciuto. But where do you sit on footy directors like him having roles in the media?
I thought it was fantastic what he said about every player. I know he's been been attacked for it. In fact, one person said he should be sacked, but I liked it. A conflict of interest is not when you tell the truth about something, I don't think. He's asked a question and he gave... Now, the problem is, of course, for Mark, that the team served up that crap on the weekend. So Adelaide are in all sorts and they've never been in all sorts in their 25 years in the AFL.
No, they haven't. And they're probably one of three teams that look like they can't wait to get out of the hub, Ando.
You three might be able to answer this. In 2015, 2016... the person who was nominated unanimously as the captain of the year was who?
Tex Walker.
Taylor Walker.
I don't know how he got it in the first place. I understand how Trent Cotchin got it in 2017 or whoever got it last year. I'm not sure who did last year. It wasn't Richmond again. But, Shannon Hearn got it in 2018. I understand that. Tex Walker, to me, is symptomatic of their clubs going through. And he seems to be unable to lift himself. And he's probably put himself in a couple of situations. Well, yeah, I don't know what their options are. I mean, Fogarty isn't giving them much either. And they're playing him up forward. Jenkins is gone. Lynch is a different type of player. So they've got some issues. But he's a player who could turn it around, I would have thought. He's a big, tough boy. Well, he's a big, strong boy.
He's huffs and puffs.
He huffs and puffs and doesn't blow many houses down at the moment, Scotty. So that's where it would start. Rory Sloane's running around doing the best he can, having a real crack. But Walker's the key. And at the moment, he's embarrassing himself.
Well, there you go. Ando really is on the warpath today, isn't he, boys? hasn't really missed anyone. Well, we've driven the Geelong Road. We've diverted to Adelaide. We've gone past Royal Parade.
We've run out of time.
It's official. No,
let's go.
We've just taken the exit. We've gone through the tunnel. We've taken the exit onto Hoddle Street, gone through the Swan Street intersection. There's only one place to turn from here, Mick, and it's left into Punt Road Oval. What is going on with your team?
Well, I have looked into this. It was concerning. So I've got to the bottom of it.
Don't say what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
Last time you lost two games.
Premierships aren't won in June.
They have only lost one game in 12 months, so it's a pretty early crisis. But they're off their tucker. Now, when they turned back from their 82-day shutdown, they had an intra-club, and apparently it was one of the great intra-clubs. People who saw it said, this is unbelievable level of football. Ever since that intra-club, though, the energy levels at Punt Road have been way down, and we saw 9 tackles at halftime. So they're clearly off their tucker. Jack's off his tucker. Dustin will play, mind you. But, come on. I mean,
well, what's
I saw
this?
Lee Montagna said they can't win the premiership.
That's a bit early.
Spell, Lee.
Yeah, what's I don't know if I'd be going that early.
What about Jack? People and people close to us are saying he's lost his love of footy or something.
Who
doesn't want to play?
Close to us? Who's close to us that said that?
Did the Chief mention something like that or not?
I don't know. I just think he's at the wrong end of his career, but he'll kick a bag in the next couple of weeks, and there'll be egg all over face.
In what all about seriousness, Dusty? Though. Oh,
you're
Dusty.
Got broken.
Trained in a hoodie yesterday. There was a bit of vision floating around. You'd have to be worried he's going to miss again, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, Richmond can't win if he misses. Who do you play?
St Kilda.
Ooh. But in all seriousness, Mick, Marlon Pickett, wonderful story, had an amazing debut, won the prep. But we haven't really seen him. And then we've seen him in a negative way in that the team's not playing well. What was it, eyebrow raising for him and maybe Sydney Stack, a few of the others, that when the ball wasn't going all their way, was there signs, concerning
signs?
Who did the
Bulldogs play the week before last?
I forget anything that happened before.
They
got
smashed. Whoever it was, they were smashed. And you were at the front of the queue picking the carcass apart.
I'm just asking your opinion on a couple of players.
And they smoked the Giants.
Are you deflecting? Are you concerned that the crisis is real, Michael?
Talk to me in a month about all your conspiracy theories.
What about Marlon Pickett?
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's a good player.
Support me here.
Scotty, I'd just say, a lot of you go back to the grand final, you look at Marlon Pickett, it was just unbelievable, one of the best things we've ever seen. You look at Ivan Soldo, who played a really good game on grand final day. Now, they played against a side that was completely banged up, who sadly didn't turn up on the day. I think you've got to regroup and say, look, Soldo, he's got a long way to go still. He was awful the other night. And Nankervis is the safe option, so you'd expect that to be a change this week. If Soldo plays, he plays as a second ruckman only. Pickett, I thought Sydney Stack, you just mentioned him, I didn't mind his game. I think he potentially is probably a better footballer in some ways than Marlon Pickett, and he's a lot quicker. Pickett's still, he's going to be a good player, but he's playing his third or fourth game.
Yeah, so exactly.
We're expecting a lot of him, like a mature age guy. I never forget that. It's just that he seemed to overcome the odds in the grand final, but I'm a bit with Mick. I wouldn't be like they drew with Collingwood. Well, that's not bad for them now. Collingwood looked pretty good on the weekend. Had a bad night. Had a really bad night against Hawthorn. No, I'd be wanting a lot more evidence. I think this time last year we were riding Richmond off, weren't we? They won the premiership. So
Generally part of the annual cycle, isn't it? At some point, I must admit, yeah. I did get a few messages after the game. Against the Hawks regarding Ivan Soldo, Ando, that he potentially may have fallen victim to the doing media on game day curse. Yeah. So, Ivan, if you're listening, I apologise, and please consider talking to us again, because hopefully we weren't the reason.
I enjoyed the interview. I don't always read player interviews. I don't know why I lost, but I did read them, and I really enjoyed it. And he seemed to – he didn't take himself seriously. He's got a good sense of fun about him, Ivan. So let's hope that he does make it. And it's a long journey for him from where he's come from, but he's pretty early on at the moment and perhaps not quite ready for number one responsibility against good opposition.
So you probably bring Nankervis in because he is competitive. I mean, he's not as tall as Soldo, doesn't win the bounces, but he's the sort of got the animal instinct, Scotty, that Richmond will bring to St Kilda.
Is it at Marvel Stadium?
Did you see the Nick Reid?
Actually, I'm covering it. I'm covering that game.
You should probably know where it is then, Scotty.
I'll be there, Michael.
All right.
Well, maybe you will be if you know where it is.
At 4:35, I'll be there.
No, you're on to it, Scotty.
But maybe you get there at 4:32, Scotty.
You don't like the roof.
The first bounce of Ivan Soldo or Nankervis versus, what would it be, Rowan Marshall or Paddy Ryder? The Saints need to get themselves back on track. They demolished the Bulldogs in that first week back, but unfortunately didn't look good against the Pies.
What about your Twin Tower rucks, Loz? Already there's murmurings on that.
No, I'm backing it. I'm a big Rowan Marshall fan myself.
Oh no, by himself, yes.
I know I'm gonna play not play the fifth here. I'm gonna play the mid here and say, come back to me in a month. I think we're gonna say that all year.
Using that line, that old chestnut that I just hey, on him, Loz, on Rowan Marshall, I think one of the reasons he was has been successful over the past 18 months is because he's such a good endurance athlete for someone of his size. And when you play as a part-time ruck, when you don't get the opportunity to burn your opposition off through your endurance, and Paddy Ryder coming to the club, I just understood Paddy Ryder would play more forward than he has. And he actually started in the ruck the other day, which surprised me. And Marshall won't be liking that. Marshall has to be on the ball for 80% of the game, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit the same, and I was under the impression that Ryder might play a bit more forward, but and sort of just be there to not just be there, but be there for, you know, educational purposes for Rowan. He's obviously had such a long career in the ruck to sort of help him add a string to his bow. So it'll be interesting to see what Rats does against the Tigers this week, because as we know, they'll be smarting, as we know is the word, and looking to get back on the winners list at that game that Scotty will be covering. We'll be looking forward to
4:35
Sunday Herald Sun.
Shocking venue, before, by the way. Shocking venue.
Yeah, you don't like it under the roof? Danger game.
Well,
danger.
I must say, the atmosphere struggles even with a crowd at Marvel Stadium. And I did the Bulldogs and Giants game on Friday night there. I'm really struggling with the no crowd. I almost needed some fake crowd noise just through my my little radio setup that I had there. It wasn't ideal.
Have you heard the saying, throwing good money after bad? They're about to spend $225 million in a pandemic putting pig lipstick on a pig down there by renovating it.
What's the renovation involved? What needs adding there? Because it's pretty new to the eye.
New coloured seats.
It's going to sort of face out to the river.
No, they're putting Disney all over it, aren't they? Mickey, remember that story?
Marvel.
Yeah. They're putting all the characters on the scoreboard and stuff. Paint them all. It'll be great. There'll be no one there, but it'll be great.
Well, maybe that's why we need the coloured seats, because crowds in Victoria seem a very long way. They may be going Gabba style to sort of cover up the crowds. We will get to the Whisper very shortly, Ando's Best of the Best, and also go into the Hub. But just very, very quickly, on the Hubs, Mick, obviously Adam Simpson spoke on 3OW on the weekend regarding the Hubs. I think it was with you guys on Friday night before the game. Will Schofield, another one. Is it getting into their heads? Because they were shocking again.
Clearly into their heads. Yet someone else made a point that they don't play well in the slippery, dewy conditions of Gold Coast. And I would have thought, if that was the case, why would they have chosen?
They picked to go there, exactly.
No, put a line through West Coast.
Oh, gone.
Yeah.
Even if they go on to play 11 more games in Perth?
In a row.
Is that, yes, okay, take the line off, get the rubber out.
What about Jeremy McGovern? How long is McGovern? I'd be more worried about that. Without Jeremy McGovern, they're a totally different side, as any side would be.
Yeah, it's not looking good for him. Saw him on the crutches on the weekend. It's a significant break for him, but I did see someone on the Twitter machine suggesting, Ando, that it might finally open up that All-Australian full-back spot for someone else, because he's certainly had the grip on it the last few years.
He's the best player of his type, Loz, that I've seen in two decades. Alex Rance was a different type of defender, so was Matthew Scarlett, but as an intercept defender and just an old-style natural footballer, I haven't seen a better one than Jeremy McGovern in recent times.
But it is time, Scotty, putting you on notice for our favourite whisper. Anything for us? What have your people come up with this week?
Well, my people are telling me, Loz, that a couple of very big names in the football media might be branching out into the advertising world. They might be on the side setting up their own sort of business, because their ability to attract sponsors and look after sponsors has been their strength. And my mail is they might be looking to harness that and turn it into a nice little business on the side. So watch this space, some well-known media figures.
You do have people everywhere, as we know, the Whisper, of course, featuring in the Super Score each and every day in the Herald Sun. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. Another feature of the Herald Sun Footy podcast over recent weeks has been Ando's best of the best teams, looking at the best lineups in positions over the last 50 years. So looking at teams from 1970 through to 2020. And Ando, it's time to go, finally, given that you've gone through this alphabetically, to Witten Oval.
I'm a little bit Toby Nankervis about this one, Lodge, because Scotty's listening on and he knows more about the dogs than I do. The hard part I found, Scott, was some of your best sides were years when you didn't get to a grand final or win a premiership, and that happened in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. So, and yet you've got a premiership side, and I guess
struggle to have any, really.
Yeah, I got one in. I got one other in, I think, maybe two.
Boyd,
no, one.
Maybe.
Yeah, one from the premiership. My God.
That's how strong we were through the previous 40 years, Michael.
Anyway, here goes. I've got a bloke in the back pocket who played for 2 years with the club. And in those 2 years, he's probably one of the better back pockets I've ever seen, called Brad Hardy.
Terrific.
The most, just such an attacking player and so such possession. And I love watching him play footy. Brian Lake, he's up there with the best fullbacks of his time, isn't he, Brian Lake? I know he went on to Hawthorne 3 premierships, but I thought he's a wonderful player with the Bulldogs.
Rick
all
Kennedy,
Australian Bulldogs.
Rick
yeah,
Kennedy,
Rick was close.
Rick
yeah,
Kennedy.
No, Rick, yep. Lake to me is a
but was he good with us? Was he better at Hawthorne?
He was Brian Harris when he was with you, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon he was all Australian with you 1 year. I should have.
Yeah, he might have been.
The other back pocket, I've gone for Dale Morris. So there's something from 2016. Just a really universally respected footballer. Half back line, Robert Murphy, who should have been in 2016. Chris Grant played centre half forward really successfully, also centre half back brilliantly. He was just such a good player. And going to centre half back for the balance of this side works, because then Kelvin Templeton can be centre half forward. I've got Rowan Smith on the other half back flank. I think 290 odd games, Rowan Smith, 297, something like that. Real dasher. Doug Hawkins, obvious, on a wing. Scotty West, obvious, in the middle. The other wing, not sure a lot would have him. A bloke called Magic, Michael McLean.
Oh, yeah.
Love the way
what
he played football.
Star.
Jeez, he could play footy. Half forward line, Brad Johnson, Kelvin Templeton, Adam Kearney. You've got two Brownlow medals there. We saw only the best of Kearney for a brief time, sadly, because of his knee problem. But he cut up teams with his burst. He was such an explosive player. Forward line, Bernie Quinlan in the forward pocket. Simon Beasley, full forward. I've got Tony McGuinness, Scotty, in the other forward pocket as a second rover.
Yes,
loved him
as
a player. Gary Dempsey, yeah, I think Dempsey had six best and fairest in the 70s. Marcus Bonampelli, ruck rover, or first ruck if you're in that position. And Brian Choco Royal as the rover, who showed how good he was when he used to play for Victoria in the State Coast. Scotty Wine, just ahead of Andrew Purser as the ruckman off interchange. Stephen Wallace, wonderfully consistent, loyal servant. Matthew Boyd, I get Matthew Boyd in the side. I think he has to be in the 22. And the other player I've got, again, he would be a query, Nathan Brown. Nathan Brown's one of those blokes that you could pay money just to go and watch play football, because he was a rare, rare talent. Went on to Richmond, of course, and then injured himself. He's one that probably a lot wouldn't have, but I just loved his brilliance.
So no Libba, one of Brownlow, obviously.
Yeah, actually, I'll just put a line through Nathan Brown and put Libba on the bench. Libba always scared me, actually, whenever I'd go to a Carlton camp when he was assistant coach, he'd be glaring at you, because I don't know if he just hated me or hated all the media of Libba, but no, he has to be the 22, Libba. I apologise to him. Sorry, Brownie, you can piss off and I'll put Libba.
Yeah,
piss
Brownie off. There's a few in that 80s team that were good, like Jimmy Edmund, like there's a few McPherson, who were on the fringes, you're right. But it was a pretty strong team back then, but I think you've nailed it. I think the crux.
Other than Libba.
Yeah, Libba was a minor setback, but we adjusted that quickly.
You're very forgiving, Scott. Thank you. Yeah.
Adjusted very quickly. It's been a great series, Ando. Does that draw us to a close for the best of the best?
Yeah. No.
Old Geelong next week.
Yeah, then the Peninsula Pirates.
Uni Blacks.
Yeah, I don't know. The Ammos, I'm going to an Ammos meeting tonight with our club Old Geelong, and it's still – the dream's still flickering, the candle flickering in terms of hope for this year. And it'll really depend on what happens over the next 2 weeks in terms of strikes on Corona positives. But still,
Vickers Willis get in at the old Geelong.
Mark Vickers Willis at full forward. Kicked 100 goals. Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to toss out. Yeah, no, he's a
bloke, Johnny.
Yeah, I'll give you the whole side. If you like, Mick, you've got another 10 minutes. I'll go through it.
I'll let you boys take care of that one off air. And we'll have to come up with another project for you, because we've thoroughly enjoyed the best teams of the last half centuries. So I'm sure we can come up with something to keep you busy in coming weeks, but it's certainly been a hit.
I'll go next week, I'll go Thugs. Thugs on the footy field. Tough guys. The hard guys, okay?
Hey,
the hard
guys.
Yeah. Not top Thugs. We'll make it men who could get a little bit taste, the tasty 18 or the tasty 22.
Yeah, I like it.
All right? I'll give you that.
Oh, thoroughly. I cannot wait for that one. The tasty 22 next Tuesday. I'm counting down already, Ando. Thank you. But it's time now. You mentioned earlier you went into the famed hub up at Royal Pines, the West Coast Eagles. Not literally, unfortunately, given the COVID restrictions. Only our Amazon documentary friends are the only ones that seem to be allowed actually in the place. But you caught up with Brendan Archie from the Eagles. So let's have a listen to that one now.
Welcome to Brendan Archie, who last weekend, Brendan, you actually played your first game of AFL footy against your younger brother, Callum. How was that?
Yeah, mate, it's been a long time coming. So I think it's Callum's 50 year, so I'm the older brother. So, yeah, 5 years it took for us to finally play against each other. So it was awesome, mate. It was really good.
Any banter?
Oh yeah, plenty. Yep, definitely. We actually lined up on each other for a fair bit of the night. He'd been playing forward most of the time in his career, but since he's moved to Brisbane, he's moved to the half back line, and I've moved to the half forward line. So ended up being really good. We spent a fair bit of time with each other, and unfortunately he got the win and got to sing the song, but I don't know. I think I might have beat him in a few contests, so who knows? You get to brag him up to that one.
Did you let him know on the night that you'd actually beat him a couple of times?
Yeah, well, I was hoping to have a few one-on-one marking contests with him, but it wasn't that sort of game. It was more an up-and-back thing. So we'll chase each other a fair bit of the night. But, yeah, it was good fun, mate. Like, we're really close. So to get the chance to finally play against him and even for our families as well, you know, like they waited so long to be able to watch us play in the same game. So it was really good. It was really good.
Just a shame your family couldn't be there, I guess.
Yeah, well, Dad said, can we come over and get tickets because they live in Perth? And I was like, well, no, you come over here, you have to, you know, quarantine for 2 weeks. And when you go back, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So you have to, unfortunately, watch it at home. But they were cute. They dressed up in, you know, both teams' colours, and they made a big night of it. So, it was really special for them. So it was good to do it for the family.
Who does the family barrack for? Who did the Archies barrack for when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, it was all over the place. Dad was a Crows supporter. He started getting into footy around 97, 98, which is when the Crows won the grand final. So he jumped on the bandwagon there. But he loved Andrew McLeod, was his favourite player. So he followed him through. And mum didn't really care too much. She supported our local team, the Kelmscott Bulldogs, and when me and my five other brothers were going through. So, yeah, Dad was a footy head. Mum just loved watching her kids play.
Should I call you? You probably don't get called Brendan very often, because I know your nickname's Polly, and the only other AFL footballer I've ever interviewed called Polly was the late and great Polly Farmer from the 1950s and 60s, and that's where you got your nickname from, isn't it?
I think it might have been Gary Hocking maybe first when I went to Port Adelaide. Because obviously Polly Farmer was an Aboriginal bloke from Perth and had a really big left-hand handball. So sort of when I was growing up, I just tried to, handball like him, I guess, because my dad used to be a big fan and used to show me his handball. So, I tried to emulate that as much as possible. And obviously he's, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. So, I don't get Brendan too much, actually. I get a lot of other nicknames, but I rarely get called Brendan.
Is it Polly mainly?
My nickname. I mostly get Chi, so pretty unoriginal, but that's the last name. So Chi or Arch, a little bit of Polly every now and then. There's a bit of a mixed bag, and definitely never Brendan. It's actually weird to get to hear that name. It's funny actually. My family, growing up, when I was a little baby, I I was pretty heavy, so I was a bit of a bit of a tubby kid. So my my family back home called me Buddha. So whenever I'm back home, I never get Brendan in the family house either. It's always Buddha. So yeah,
so you're a few nicknames. man of many nicknames. I'll go with G. Okay, so So you obviously you started with Port Adelaide, and now you're with the West Coast Eagles. So living in Perth, and now you're up in the hub in Queensland. Is it similar in terms of climate and what the atmosphere, or is it totally different?
Yeah, it's quite up and down actually. Since we've been here, I think, like, I'm looking at my bedroom window now, and it's a beautiful sunny Gold Coast day. But as you might have saw last night in the Fremantle-Port Adelaide game, it was bucketing down. So it goes from being really, really sunny to really wet almost straight away. And even if it's a dry day, if you're playing at night time, it gets really, really dewy. So obviously it's a bit humid up here, and when the sun goes down, the dew comes out. So something we've sort of had to adapt to a little bit. Obviously we don't get as much over in Perth. It's another level here. But yeah, we've done a few night training sessions now, and we're trying to adapt to it and get used to it.
With your situation, so you were delisted and re-rookie at the end of last year.
Yep.
So how's that work for you now with, say, with COVID and the financial side of it? I guess obviously you want to be playing senior footy to get extra match payments, don't you?
Yeah, matches, they are they're lifesavers. But yeah, no, it's everyone's copped a whack. So it's good. I guess the thing about being in footy club is everyone's in sort of different situations. So, you know, like, we're actually really lucky. We still get to play footy. We still get to have a job. Whereas, you know, we've got a lot of coaches. Like, one of the coaches I was close to, Matt Rosa, was my mentor coach. He isn't in the hub with us. So there's blokes like that. There's heaps of people like that around footy clubs who haven't even, you know, who aren't at the club anymore. So it's a good reality check, and at least I've, you know, still get to play footy and do what I love. So I'm actually really grateful, and all the boys are. I mean, at first it was like, wow, we're going to, you know, take a big hit. But then reality, you know, get a bit of a reality check and a bit of a perspective on life, and you realise it's not all too bad. So we're happy to be playing footy.
I like your attitude, Brendan. Just with that, the actual hub, though, living in a hub situation, most of us have never done it. So how unusual is it?
It is, mate. It is strange. It's been 2 weeks now. So this is the start of the third week. It's strange. Like, it's obviously a bit unprecedented. Never been done before. But the AFL and the Royal Pines have looked after us really well. Like, I'm looking out the window right now, and they put footy posts up for us out in this little training field. So they've catered for every need, basically. And a lot of the boys are starting to play golf. Restrictions have been lifted, so a lot of the boys put their golf clubs over, surfboards. So, yeah, the boys have they've managed to keep a bit of, a mental break, I guess, because that was always a danger, as you become, you know, in the bubble too much. You don't get that escape. But boys have found ways to do it, so... Some boys might, go out for a surf in the morning, come back in the afternoon, play a bit of golf, just anything just to sort of take their minds off footy just for a little bit before you switch back into game mode. So it definitely is strange, and, you know, we all miss our families and friends, but I guess it's as good as it could be. The AFL and Royal Pines have done really well.
Who are the best surfers and who are the best golfers?
The best golfers are Andrew Gaff is the best. Like he is at most things. Gaffy's, you look at him, you don't think he's going to be too much of an athlete, but he's actually good at every single thing he tries. Probably closely followed by Hamish Brayshaw as well. I'll probably say they're the top two golfers. And then there's probably a lot at the other end who are just looking for something to do and picking up sticks for the first time. But it's good fun, you know. It's a good way to kill a couple of hours, and you're doing it with your teammates, and a bit of banter is always good.
And surfers?
Surfers, there's a few, actually a lot of coaches as well. I think Jamie Cripps is really good. He's from Northampton, up in Geraldton Way in WA, so grew up on the beach, grew up surfing, so he's pretty good. Callum Jamison's a first-year boy. He's got the long blonde hair, got the real Cottesloe Scarborough sort of look over in WA, and he's apparently was a very talented junior surfer and could have pursued it if he really wanted to. But obviously he's with us now playing footy, so they're probably the two best. But it's just good, like, a lot of these boys have hobbies like that, and they need to be able to do them, you know. They need to be able to live their lives, so it's good that the restrictions were lifted and they can do so.
this weekend you play your old side, Port Adelaide. I guess it's a couple of years since you've been there, but you would have been aware that something was growing at that club. So you're probably not totally surprised at how they've started the season.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think Port have always had a really good spirit. Their supporter base is some of the most passionate in Australia, obviously, with their history with the Port Adelaide Footy Club and their SANFL and their 36 premierships. So they've really got a spirit, and I think they've got the right amount of youth and experience now. Obviously, their drafts from the last couple of years with Xavier Dersma did his hammy last night, but him and Butters and Rosie, very, very talented young players, and you've got the experience of, you know, Justin Westhoff and Travis Boak, who's in almost career best form, and he's, I don't know, 31 or something like that. I don't know. Sorry, Boaky, I don't know how old you are, mate, but yeah, you've got this good balance of youth and experience, but yeah, I think a lot of footy is just about belief and momentum, and they've definitely got the momentum at the moment.
Are there other boys, I'm not sure, from Porter on West Coast list, but would you ever get tapped into for your knowledge about them at all?
Do you mean from West Coast asking me about Port?
Yes.
Yeah. In the early days when it's all fresh, definitely. But this is my third year at West Coast now, and in 40 years, a really long time. So I think any knowledge that I would have had of Port's game plan would be basically irrelevant because the game's changed so much. So there could be, you know, details about certain players, certain individuals, but as a team and how they play and how they approach games, I think what I know from 2017, which was my last year, is probably old news now.
I don't know that much about the way footy's played these days, but I know that when they kick the ball in the forward line, that Charlie Dixon's going to be there somewhere, and I know, and you played with him, so you'd be well aware of his strengths.
Yeah, he's a mountain, Charlie. Yeah, he's a good fella. Well, he played a lot of footy on the Gold Coast as well. That was his first team, so he probably feels a little bit at home up here as well. But yeah, he's a really, really valuable player. Even if he doesn't mark it, he's going to bring the ball to ground, and that's when the small forwards and can work their magic and get the ground level and, you know, create those sort of goals. So he's really important for them. And they also got Todd Marshall, who's pretty tall, and Justin Westhoff down there as well. So, but I'm sure the coaches will, the West Coast Eagles coaches would have done their homework, and we'll go into this week prepping really hard for them and looking forward to a really good contest.
No, I look forward to watching your season unfold. Hopefully you have a really good one Buddha or Polly or Chi, whatever name you want to go by. Really enjoyed speaking to you today.
Any of them, man. Take your pick.
Yeah. Good on you, mate. Good to speak to you. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Well, that is it for the round 4 edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Boys, doesn't it seem weird saying round 4 in June, but so is 2020. We'll be back next Tuesday for all of the wash-up from round 4 and a look ahead to round 5. You can catch up with all of the news in the meantime at heraldsun.com.au and, of course, in the paper. We'll see you at the footy.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.